best not to anger it, and hopefully everything will be okay.
Okay, have you considered playing really docile music to lure it to back to sleep?
Okay, let's see. 1 second.
Okay, let's try it. You can't. Maybe you can hear it in the background. He's playing very docile music.
It seems fine.
Okay. We're going to talk about pro wrestling. That's what we're here for. I agree. Mod Mike saying, let's go.
There baby. We go. Okay, we can go.
All right, wonderful.
Hey, the baby's fine.
Give him the
He's real. A baby. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, there you go. JJ's saying, scream into the mic. It always helps. I agree.
Oh, yeah, he's fine. It doesn't matter. It's a baby.
You lose all of your listeners because they're like, oh, they're just playing with babies. We're not here for baby talk.
Ain't here for no baby shit.
No, you're all here to talk
we're
about
here for man shit.
You're all here man for Tim shit. And Joel. You're all here for this thing. Tim, talk to them. Talk to the people.
About what?
I don't know. Intro the show.
Wrestling? I did already. I whispered it. That's an intro. Whispered intros are still intros.
Whatever, man. You know what? If you like if you like the intro, go ahead. Toss a thumbs up on the video here live. Leave us a comment if you're watching after the fact, if you're watching the VOD, or maybe if you're listening in the audio realm, which is sometimes my favorite realm. If you're one of those folks who want to listen to us afterwards, go ahead on your podcast app, leave us a 5-star review. Get your friends' ears, eyes, noses, whatever the hell they listen to us on, get them listening to us too, because we want you in our community with us. Speaking of which, if you haven't subscribed to our channel here, go ahead, join us here. And also join us in our Discord. There's a link in the video description. It's an easy, easy way to keep up on all the stuff in wrestling, all the stuff we clown around on, and all the stuff we like to have fun with. Tim, it's been a few days. Lots has happened. There's been a good TV. There's been some okay TV.
A good TV.
I have a nice TV next to it. It's not that nice. I have a lot of nice things to talk about in wrestling. There's some, I wouldn't say not so nice, but some bittersweetness in wrestling this week, or at least yesterday. But let's get into the meat and potatoes. Are you ready?
Meat and potatoes. Yeah, I'm good. It's going to be a better time than me talking about SmackDown last week.
Oh, so my goodness. Go. Yes. Raw was actually pretty good. It was an enjoyable show.
Not bad, right? Yeah. Good times.
Now, We brought you in with the thumbnail. We brought you in with the, is Bianca Belair getting buried?
Yeah, is she? Probably. Back of the line, at least.
Now let's talk about it for a second.
It's Liv time, baby.
Yeah, is it Liv's time, though? Is it really Liv's time? No,
it never is. It never is.
Oh, dear. It's the soft
it's a sham.
It keeps on giving. First of all, I do want to address this. Yes, the trial of Louis Dangor is up, youtube.com/FightfulDistraction. Myself, Jeremy Lambert, we're doing our regular Tuesday afternoon play along WWE 2K19 video content, and Louis Dangor decided to tweet something absolutely just heinous. Hey,
was this the tweet that Hangman should not win?
Yes. And then MJF should roll him up in his hometown the next week. And so we got Louis like minutes after he had posted this tweet. We brought him onto our Twitch channel and we roasted him, myself and Jeremy Lambert, Sean Ross Sapp. We just went, we took him to trial, and you know what? Louis was a fantastic guest. He was very, he played along. We had a good time. We took the piss. He was good. Go ahead.
Check that out. You know, like if you can't use a winning formula, like Impact Wrestling's, then what can you do? You know, you're never going to get there. So you either do the things that brought Impact Wrestling tremendous success, or you fail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's go back to Raw. If you want, you can go watch Raw, or you can listen to us talk about it. There are so many people who talk about it, but let's take it the Bianca route. Let's start with this. So back at SummerSlam, we watched her get taken out 26 seconds by a returning Becky Lynch.
Kofied.
As some people, you yourself included, have said. Did you expect things to go the way they have at this point with Bianca Belair? Do you think that this is the position she would be in about 2 months later?
Nope. We did the let it play out thing. We were like, let's see. No.
And shame on us.
A pull the tights victory in wrestling is still a decisive victory. Like,
is it? Is it not a cheat?
Yeah, yeah, it absolutely is. And like, you know, the face will always be like, you know, nine tights. But like, I don't know, more often than not, you don't come back from that. Most people kick it, can kick it. Because here's the thing, that doesn't do shit in reality. Like, it's barely cheating. I don't understand why it's even used as cheating. I don't think it actually offers you any additional leverage when trying to pin somebody. It's just a physics horse shit thing they do in wrestling. So
I think what's equally frustrating is that bringing back Becky Lynch was not part of the plan for SummerSlam. When it became part of the plan, it meant they had to rewrite or at least figure out what comes next. And in true fashion in WWE, it doesn't exactly go that route. We tricked ourselves. We tricked ourselves into letting it play out this time. And that's a shame on us scenario, because that I watched it live in the arena in the stadium, and I said, okay, there might be something here. And then the more I thought about it, and the more they played out as more Becky turning heel than anything else in the entire story happening, nothing was going to happen.
Yeah, it's just at this point, Bianca's back of the line, and there's no, I don't see an elegant way to correct that. They've written themselves into, she's just fallen off the peak, right? Like, she did very, very well. She was at the top of her game, and now she can't get a win.
I think what frustrates me is exactly that. She can't get a win. They keep putting her in title matches, and on top of that, in those title matches, she either fails or gets screwed out of the pin, doesn't win, is not the one pin. It's like they're on the fence. It's the very much will they, won't they effect when it comes to talking about Bianca Belair's trajectory. And if their trajectory, which I don't believe it is, but I'll say it anyway, is to go to WrestleMania and win another big championship against, say, Charlotte Flair, then great, that's wonderful, except we're nowhere near telling that story. And she's not going to win the Royal Rumble again. There's no reason to do that. It just leads us to the same story that we just told.
They've had people, like, in the men's Rumble, they've had them win back-to-back before, right? They've already done that shtick.
Oh, yeah. And every year there's always the question.
So it's not even.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where we're going. They're going to be like, oh, the women. This is the first time for the women again.
She would be the first woman to win back-to-back Rumbles. That's what they
Which
would
is like not, you know, that's not great when you've had like four Rumbles.
But that's the marketing machine. That's the Vince McMahon marketing mind. The first time ever. And he would do that. And he would absolutely do that. And what will that do? That'll bring us to WrestleMania, where she'll face Charlotte and win the title. Or not, because it's Charlotte and it's WrestleMania. I do want to pull up, this is one comment. Pulling the tights is as useful as an Irish whip.
Yeah, you need both participants need to be willing in that to do anything.
I'll go back to the pulling the tights comment. I disagree. Pulling the tights, the idea is that it's leverage, is that you're pulling your opponent further into the pin, and therefore you're leveraging your weight against theirs. That's the kayfabe outlook on it. Whereas the Irish whip, yeah, it's dumb. I watched, actually, in that same match, Becky went to go do a tope outside of the ring on Bianca. And she runs to the rope. The rope doesn't move. She more just went to the... It felt like she went to the edge of the ring just to run back to get that momentum from the running in the other way. Irish whip does nothing. I agree with that. We all know this one. It's a thing. So...
Yeah, I don't know. It's still... And either way, like, I think... I don't know. I don't, it's not so heelish. Like, it really isn't. Like, you don't deserve a rematch over that. You really don't. And it's just, I'm tired of it.
I don't think they're going to give her a rematch out of it.
I don't think so either. I think it is back of the line.
Like, they've had her do so much of this that there's no reason to go back and give her another title shot. She continues to get them. So why bother giving her another? But now we have to find a way to tell the story of Bianca in a new scenario where she's not going for a title, and she's been in a title picture since the Royal Rumble in some way. So the Survivor Series is coming up. Are we going to do something with Survivor Series? Are we going to have her captain the team? Is Survivor Series going to be an entire team of can they coexist? What are we going to do? Is Bianca the sole survivor? Is that how we save her, Tim?
I hate Survivor Series.
You're not alone. You're not alone, but we're telling stories here.
Are we
not very well in some cases?
We're shoehorning events. It's not even stories.
And again, just to prove that WWE doesn't care about Survivor Series as much anymore either, every single pay-per-view next year that is a major event is occurring in a dome or a stadium. So out of the big four, they're all happening in a dome or stadium, and then you've got Survivor Series is at TD Garden, which is just a regular old arena in Boston. So clearly the Survivor Series doesn't matter as much as it used to, but they're not going to get rid of it because it has history, quote unquote.
Sigh.
Bianca Belair is not a heel as being asked right now. Vince won't turn her either. I think there is way.
No, I don't think there's anywhere to. Yeah,
there's no way to do it and make that work. There are enough heels on the roster. She needs to be that babyface that overcomes the odds, whatever those odds may be. They just can't stack them properly.
I mean, they gave her the key to that horrible city that Kane, they elected Kane as mayor. Oh, so that's right. Like you can't turn someone who's got the key to a horrible city, mayored by Kane.
Yeah. Oh, and here's a good point. When Peyton Royce pinned Bayley a month after Bayley lost the title and nothing came of it. That's a good point. They never had anything for Peyton Royce and everyone sat there waiting. And it's the same thing as what happened with Liv Morgan. It's the same thing. There's nothing. The Shotzi turn we talked about on the Sunday show.
Which I didn't even recognize as a turn.
I didn't hate like, it.
I still don't understand that that's a heel thing.
It only is because she's now leaning into it as like, I see who I am now. And she's just going to have a mean streak. I'm fine with Shotzi having a mean streak. I'm fine with that. I don't love it because she was very universally liked.
She rides a tank.
Liked.
She rides a toy tank. How do you make that into a heel thing?
She's taking care of business.
Yeah, sure.
She's
taking care of business tank. I keep forgetting that they now have named the tank that for some reason.
Taking care of business. We got to bring that up. Anyway, so Raw kicks off with that match between Becky and Bianca. We know how it ends. And then later on in the night, Becky's like, I beat everyone. I could beat everyone. And then no one else is going to beat me.
And then Liv Morgan steps up to get beat.
Liv Morgan, who had a match on Main Event this week. By the way, don't bother with Main Events. they certainly don't in WWE, so why should you? So that's what goes on for the opening segment. We see what else happens. My God. Again, very memorable Raw, but of course I remember absolutely nothing a few days later.
It's 3 hours long. You can only internalize so much.
Rey Mysterio, Dominic versus
Rey Mysterio rides his son to the ring 1 week after competing for a shot at the world championship or whatever the hell they call this one.
We all ride our dads. No, sorry, phrasing. They take on Austin Theory, and I love that Austin Theory's phone is just sitting there in the corner, and Dominic Mysterio is like, even I don't want to touch that thing. So Rey Mysterio loses the match, of course, because the referee is suddenly smart. The referee who does not see it, he does not see Dominic punching Austin Theory, suddenly saw it in the back of his head and DQs Rey Mysterio.
So now Mysterio and his son, are we building to Mysterio v Mysterio?
Building? It's been the whole story this entire time.
I hate it so much. I don't want to see that match, and I don't even think it'll be good.
Dominic turns on his father. And that is
which is so boring. I don't care. I don't care at all. I really don't care. I don't even think Dominic Mysterio is good. He needs to have an actual moveset.
You know what I love?
He's not good at the 619.
You know what I love about this entire story is that if Dominic turns on Rey, that is some Vince McMahon level projecting. And I am very much a fan of that. And Rey Mysterio is a bad father. I will shout it from the rooftops. I retweet it every time. Are we ready to admit that Rey Mysterio is a bad father?
And like, what's left for Dom after he turns? Like, his entire identity is gone.
That's right. Like, why bother?
Like, what's he going to go by? Is he going to go by Dominic Guerrero? That would be funny as hell. Just do that.
I need him, and I need Austin Theory to say that Rey was his father because he keeps doing the shimmy, the Rey shimmy.
Oh my God.
Oh, whatever, man. You know what? That's just one story that I'm sitting there like everyone's waiting for it. And when it happens, just like the Becky and Charlotte at SummerSlam where Becky turned and beat the shit out of Charlotte, but then everyone was cheering for the fact that Becky beat the shit out of Charlotte. It's going to be the same thing when Dominic does it to Rey. Everyone's going to be like, oh, finally!
I mean, you know, he grows back his eyes, so let's just have him rip out another one or something. I don't know, really get that heat going.
Oh my God, that's fine by me. Seth and Big E, I loved this promo. I don't know about you. I like that they're making little references here. They're definitely wanting to fights, which is good. And, you know, there's some NXT content you can get in here with Big E and Seth Rollins. They were both champions. Big E's defeated Seth in NXT. There's KO, who's also been an NXT champion. There's
KO.
There's some stuff in there.
So God bless him.
KO comes out and he's all, hey, I got 3 months of my contract left, or maybe 3 years. Who knows? They're offering me money. What do you think? Is this KO subtly saying I could go or I might stay? Is this what do you
think? I thought I was very surprised by this. I was glad to see KO interrupt this segment. I was like, oh, refreshing.
And later, and
then, you know, this is like the highlight of Raw. This came out and then it built into a tremendous main event with questionable finish, but like, you know, it's interesting. I found this interesting at least, and I found the ending interesting, and I found KO being like, "I'm sorry, man," and like all that stuff, and you know, the eventual is this, and then Big E, you know.
First, I will bring up, because it's kind of on topic, with the Seth and Big E storyline, I really enjoyed Seth making light of Kofi Mania, of the King of the Ring win for Creed. I think there's a lot of really good storytelling in there. And I like that Big E is standing up for his brothers and also doing it in a way where no one looks dumb and everyone is getting over. Seth is getting over as a heel who doesn't care about anything but the title. Big E still loves his team. He is still putting over his friends who are on another brand. And he's a serious champion, which people want, while still being able to mess around and do his Big E thing that people also enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's still popping off one-liners throughout the show that are excellent. And Seth calling him, like, you can go back to being a joke with your friends, is just, like, excellent heel work, right? Like, it really shows a good dynamic between them. And this is good. It's a good feud. It's going to be good. Yeah, good stuff.
Like we're saying in the chat, you know, Big E mentioning Mount Rushmore to Kevin Owens. That was good. There's a nice little subtle PWG hint there for y'all. It was a nice little segment that I think put over not just the importance of Seth versus Big E down the line, but also the importance of doing Big E and Kevin Owens later in the night, which we'll get to shortly. But first, we have to speak in a British accent so that we can talk shit about each other for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Nope.
Some of us have self-respect.
I'm fine with it as long as she does it, is literally nice to the people with the accent, and then total bitch without it. That's the only way I'm cool with this whole thing with Queen Zelina. I don't think an accent is not a character. I agree with that statement. But if we're going to do it, let's just do something.
It's whatever.
You're on JJ's good side.
I'm just sparing you my shitty accent.
It is a bad accent.
I
did
a whole play with one time.
Which one?
I don't know.
Which
one? The Mousetrap. Agatha Christie, I play the lead.
Oh, very nice. Look at you. Tim is the lead. Why aren't you acting more in this show?
Apathy.
It's a bit. It's a bit.
Why aren't people acting more on Raw?
Oh, that's a good one.
Why can't Zelina learn how to act?
Oh, and it's funny because out of everyone.
She's taking her punishment well.
Out of everyone in that foursome there between Zelina and Carmella and Nikki and Rhea, the best actress happened to be Zelina.
Yeah, no one's good at acting in wrestling, it seems.
No, it takes a lot to get there. So they do the whole Nikki, they make fun of Nikki because she's Rhea's little sister. And then Rhea Ripley is like, oh, you can fight me in the ring. I'm not going to do Aussie accents either. And so they're going to have a tag match. Rhea Ripley, and so Ripley and Nikki come out and they go to commercial, of course. And then...
So many commercials.
They gave the match a little bit of time. It was fine. Yep. It wasn't great. Yep. I sat there saying Nikki's going to eat the pin. I thought it was Mella who was going to get the pin, but no. They're finally letting Zelina get some wins, Tim.
Yeah. There's just some delayed force on that sunset bomb. Good stuff. You know, she went down and then Nikki came back down hard like 2 seconds later. It was weird, but good.
Of all the people to beat, Nikki is probably the most okay with getting those L's. Unfortunately, she's also a former Raw Women's Champion, and they have absolutely no plans for her beyond the belt that they've given her.
Yeah, that's it. That's the end of that. You got the merch. The children love her.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. If JJ closes his eyes, I am now considered British. I can probably make a few words work for us. That was bad. Anyway, Miz is off Dancing with the Stars, by the way.
Man, y'all really hate heel Becky, eh? I think she's doing a fine job.
I don't hate it.
No. But we got this, and we got where's the other one? Where's the other one saying that Becky heel isn't working?
Oh, I'm sure I saw that.
Yeah, here, there we go.
There we go. And the thing is, they're not wrong, because there are fans. There are a lot of fans who want to cheer her. But then it's up to Becky to get the heat back.
I've only exclusively cheered heels, except for Biggie. Biggie's
Tim, you're part of the problem then.
Well, I don't know. We've talked about this before, where the face is just that they've got very few, very little in terms of identity. They're always take on all comers, or like, yeah, it's fine. Like, I like heel Becky. I have no problem with it. I think she's doing a good job getting the heat when she needs to get it. Like, I think she goes out, she's a tool. She's a big time Bex, which I think, you know, they threw a lot of bad ideas at the wall with their little one-liners for her. But I think big time Bex works. You know, she's Conor McGregor. It's fine.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's the thing. I think a lot of the fans need to have it knocked over their head a bunch of times.
Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know. I went from liking Conor McGregor to really fucking hating Conor McGregor. So
she has to do that thing.
Yeah,
she does have to do that thing that completely forces you to hate her, and
which is just being a jackass without being clever about it. So like, right. You know, make her just say annoying shit, like make her really irritating rather than like clever and fun. And, you know, she'll get there. Takes time.
She can get there faster if she showed up on this show and told you to leave a thumbs up on the video every 5-10 minutes. We can true do heel-ish. That. That would be the best heel thing you can do. And I agree. Like, the problem is she is likable because she also just had a daughter. She just had a kid. They're known as good people. So people who need, like, we need to separate the woman from the character.
I mean, that's on y'all. That's on the audience. Like, you fucked yourself up by caring so much about these people's personal lives. Like, I don't give a shit about like what they do on their free time. Like, and since, JJ, this, I'm not picking on you. Like, you're offering some good takes here. So mentioning like she's not like Austin. I mean, the world is so different. Like, Austin wasn't in a world where it was constant internet dog shit talking about his personal life. Like, and, you know, I don't know. Maybe he got booze, but like if that was the day Austin be canceled, like he would not. be a fan of, like, he did some shit back when he was going through some harder times, so I don't know. Like,
Austin was also, they forced a lot of that with Austin too. When they turned him after WrestleMania in 2001, nobody wanted to boo him. They had to pair him with Triple H to get there, and then what happens next? Triple H goes down with an injury and nobody wants to boo Austin again. So what do they do? Yeah. They put him with the Alliance, and what is that? What happens then? Nobody cares. So they keep turning him back and forth. They're forcing something to happen, which is the part of the problem here with Becky, is that they're almost forcing it, but at the same time, I think it's very much, we can play along, we can do this. Yeah. Like, it's Becky's finding ways to start her promos and get that heat. I think we're just trying to find that, yeah, like go full rampage and just start fights in the streets. That's perfect.
Like, I think that'd be fine. Like, she's got some stuff. I liked the coming out last week and just being like, oh, you like this person? I'm going to beat them. Like,
yeah. And there's I'm sorry. Again, we're going to pick on JJ because he's commenting on it. Nobody cared about Lacey Evans anyway, babyface or heel, because
she's just not a great wrestler.
And also her babyface turned into the mother/former Marine.
Yeah, whatever. The obnoxious American patriotism, which is just like, yeah, I'm not going to worship your like warmongering.
It was just blind shit. Nobody liked that. Nobody thought that was a good idea. And then they turned her again and they put her.
And again, her finisher is a punch, which I always hate. Surefire way for me to hate.
Hey, like, first of all, first of all, you got to say it right. It is a woman's right.
Oh, my God. It'd be great if she was left handed. It was just a really sad right.
It's a gimmick. So speaking of not a gimmick, Chad Gable, he graduated this week from Full Sail University, says with he had a 4.0.
Don't some places have 4.3 is their like highest grade? I think there's two different GPA style. Anyway,
still pretty good if it's 4.0 on a 4.3
very
scale.
Good, very good. Yeah.
And he's a valedictorian.
Yeah. This is not searchable. Nobody searched this.
And then what do we get next? We end up having, so he's talking to Big E, and then all of a sudden Finn Balor is just like, I'm going to beat you up. And Biggie's like, if your plan is to make me a walking thumb like Otis, no thanks.
So good. Again, that's the one-liner I was talking about earlier. Like, just...
So he turned, and the whole story is that he turned Otis into a focused competitor. Sure, why not? Okay, why not?
Yeah, they're like, I think Corey Graves was like, you really got to commend Chad Gable for what he did to Otis. And I was like, what, make him boring? Like,
yeah.
I really liked Otis. Now he just exists.
Finn Balor versus Chad Gable. Now, if you're a technical wrestling fan, you're going to love this match. If you're the fan in the audience who's there to watch a regular WWE show, go back, please. I implore you, go back and watch the match and look at the crowd. Do not pay attention to the wrestlers. Look at that crowd.
Yeah, it's a shame. I thought it was a great match.
They and were like, I did asleep.
I did not expect it to last more than 2 minutes. So yeah, I think that probably threw the crowd for a loop too.
It was a good match. And then part of the problem is, like you said, that neither man is heated up. They just threw out Chad Gable cold, who's been losing ever since he really started the Alpha Academy, minus a couple of wins.
And yeah, Finn Balor, is why I was like, why was he not stepped on? I thought this was going to be Finn Balor reasserting his position because, you know, Finn Balor is a championship competitor. Chad Gable is a low card guy.
Yeah. Yeah. There was no build. And as a result, people, I think Evan's got it here. Like, crowd just wanted spots. And I understand that. That's the way that the crowd is conditioned to act. That's the way they want to see it. And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't land when your crowd is expecting one thing. It's like giving a bunch of people Coke when they ask for a Pepsi or vice versa.
Yeah.
They expected one thing.
I thought it was a good match. I was surprised that they let it go for as long as they did. But
it wasn't that long. It was only 6 minutes.
Yeah, I know. That's longer than I expected it to go. I expected a squash, and they gave them time, which is, you know, narratively it is confusing because, like, what are we building up Chad Gable for something? Like,
Drew's in the chat saying, you notice this with crowds in WWE for the last month, they're quiet for most things and they look bored. I only think they're bored when they're being fed really boring, cold matches. You give them a good segment, they're into it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make excuses for it. I just noticed from that Gable and Balor match, it was kind of like good match, but not, there's no stake to it. There's nothing to it.
Yeah. It was like a meaningless kind of, because what's going to come of it? Nothing. Like, I don't think they're heating up Chad Gable.
I think they might make Gable. I don't know. Both men look good in defeat or both. Both, like, Gable looked good in defeat. He didn't really lose the match. It just so happened that in a double pin, Balor's shoulder, his one shoulder was up and Gable's were both down. So nobody lost, but at the same time, they put on a good clinic. So, you know, as our friend Luis said, it was a pure rules match.
Like, doesn't that hurt Balor though, to lose to this or to narrowly escape with a victory to this guy? Like,
no, because he won the match. That's all that matters at that point.
Silly.
Listen, you know what else was silly? Watching Riddle go around and be like, hey, well, I like dogs. I like pot. Oh, yes.
This is what we went to this.
Yeah. So
the dirty dogs tolerate him for quite a while.
Dude, it's a long segment.
Very long.
Sure. All this just for Riddle to say, we'll be out there watching your match on commentary, bro. And it's Street Profits and Rude and Ziggler. Sure. Why not? Match was fine. But here's the problem. You've got Matt Riddle out there the entire time egging on the crowd to chant Randy Orton's name.
Yeah. Oh, meanwhile, but also, you got Montez Ford in the ring doing his thing. And like, there's lots of good stuff there.
I don't know. My favorite part of this whole thing, though, is Riddle saying that Rude and Ziggler are peanut butter and jealous. Damn it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, Wriggler and Zood, that's right. as our friend Alex Pulaski from Sour Graps on Fightful says, Wriggler and Zood. Sure, whatever. The match is, again, another good match. It's a long match. It's a tag match, but nothing's going to happen. Rude and Ziggler are going to what? They're going to face the tag champs? Okay. Where's AJ Styles?
Yeah, where is AJ Styles?
Let's just put it like this, Tim. It's been 2 weeks. If he's back next week, then your answer is probably we know easy
exactly
to
what happened. Yeah. Oh man.
Now here's what's really weird. They have Omos come out and he goes after the Street Profits again. So we're going to go, we're going to do Street Profits versus Omos and AJ. That's cool. I'm fine with that. That's going to be fun. But then at one point, Randy, who's being cheered again, is like pissed off. And what does he start doing? He's like, I'm going to go beat up Omos. And he takes off the jacket and he starts running. And they cut to a clip of last week, T-Bar versus Damian Priest. Insofar, they're like, the crowd was confused. Jimmy Smith, the announcer, was confused. People at home were confused. It was a really, really strange cut.
Yeah, I don't know what. Yeah. Breakneck pace. Yeah.
Someone just pushed a button and we're just like, oh.
Go with it.
Yeah. Then we have, we're doing the match with T-Bar and Damian Priest. This was a good match. This was very so good much
match.
Fun.
Very good match. That table exploding.
Tell me, what else did you like kendo sticks? I know. Tell me.
Oh, whatever. Kendo sticks are fine. They're fine when Damian Priest's using them.
There's a photo from again, from WWE.com. If you go into the Raw photos, there's a very good photo of T-Bar blasting Priest with the kendo stick. Like, you can see Priest's stomach, his skin, like, to the side. Like, you can see the movement. It's so cool. Yeah.
They go went at it. That. It was the two of them. Man, they got some chemistry. It's good.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. If that's going to build T-Bar in any sort of way, I'll do that. I'll deal with that. I just need them to get him away from T-Bar.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to evolve T-Bar as a character without, you know, a stable of some kind. I don't know. Oh, like, what is he? What is T-Bar?
Maybe the idea here is that we cycle through every letter of the alphabet with bar at the end. So instead of T-Bar, he's going to go up one. So what is that? S-Bar?
U-Bar?
No, but he'd go up one. So he'll go up.
So he's going towards A. Got it.
Yes. Okay. He's lettering up. So it'd be S bar is next.
So once he gets to A bar, he is the inanimate carbon rod, right?
Yes.
Who defeats That's right. all.
It does. B bar is great. Let's do it.
Can't wait for G bar, where there's some racially insensitive character work.
Oh my God. Every time it has to stand for something.
Yeah.
So when he gets to B bar, it's got to be like, I don't know, B Brian Blair. I don't know. Something. G bar is absolutely going to be something racist.
It won't be good because it's the WWE. But, yeah, you know, T-Bar himself or Dijak is like a decent dude. So maybe he'll just walk away.
Fine by me. Yeah, good. So good match. Go back, watch that if you can. It's Very and it good. Got some time too, which I like.
It did, yeah.
And then after the match, Apollo Crews comes out.
I'm here. Do it. All right, sure.
Yeah, sure. We'll have a match, the U.S. Championship. It'll be Priest versus Apollo Crews. Commander Aziz will get involved. They'll do Aziz versus Priest a bunch of times.
Thumbs will be thrusted.
Yep. Priest, who's going to be Priest's tag partner? T-Bar to take on Aziz and Cruz? Yeah,
they'll go the respect angle. You exploded me through a table. I was nearly extinct.
You've exploded me with respect.
With respect.
Jomo, John Morrison, by the way, is going to be the next 24/7 champion. You know how I know this? Because Reggie is a parkour athlete and so is John Morrison. John Morrison is the original parkour athlete, Tim. They're going to do it.
I forgot that title existed for a couple weeks. It was nice.
Yeah, well, not anymore. They did the Becky thing. And then we got to the main event, Biggie, Kevin Owens. Again, really, really good match.
God.
Those two beat the shit out of each
did
other.
Did not KO. Disappoint. Some people were disappointed with the ending. I'm fine with it.
KO hitting senton splashes off top ropes and on the floor. Good on them. Good on them going nuts and giving the fans a good match for 15 minutes. But of course, the whole story here is that Seth earlier in the night had said to KO, hey, I'll help you out and I'll give you the first championship opportunity. And KO's like, that sounds bad. I'm not going to do that. And what happens next? Seth sucker punches Big E, but Big E still gets the win. But then Big E sees it because he's not a dumb baby face. And I'm all not about that.
Dumb. He's not a dumb dumb. Very rare.
And then we're reminded. We're reminded again that Big E and KO have a history. That Big E and KO have been here before as friends, as being turned on by KO. And Big E says, nope, not this time.
He's like, I don't trust. I know who you are. Like,
It's fine with me. Takes him right out.
It really works. Like, because, you know, KO has gone back and forth so many times that it's like, no, you're right not to trust him. Just squish his ass. So
that's right. Just squish his ass. And that's what he does. Takes him out. Big ending. And that's the end of the show. We got Seth looking back and he's just like, oh, I'm going to win the title. That's my best Sith voice.
Yeah, basically.
Reggie versus Jomo is advertised for the UK house shows. They're going to do those things. Jeremy Lambert and I talked about it on Twitch. They're going to do the thing where they trade the title back and forth so that they have the content and then they show it on Raw or SmackDown saying like, oh, over the weekend, da 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 da, this happened, or on socials. And there you go. And Drew saying that Jomo's been in a holding pattern while Miz was dancing. And since Miz is coming back, I'm telling you, on Monday, it's going to be Miz hosting his talk show that I just forgot the name of, Miz TV, with John Morrison. And they're going to have special guests, RK-Bro. You're welcome.
All right.
Is there anything else from Raw that you really enjoyed?
No, I think that covers it. It's quite a decent show. Decent show overall.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. There's stuff that I was kind of like, this is dumb. But overall, I quite enjoyed what Raw was giving us.
Yeah.
Let's talk about NXT. Another, again, pretty good show.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I did not care for the main event.
What was it again?
It was a tag match. It was Johnny and Loomis versus Trick and Mello.
Oh, yeah, with the glove gimmick. And it's just like, just a way to say that. Trick and Mello are dominant now. It sucks watching Johnny Gargano lose.
Who uses a shoe, Tim?
I don't, a lot of people with skills.
Well, Trick Williams apparently has skill because he used the shoe to knock out Loomis.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, what is Dexter Loomis even? Like, I really like him and his character, but this is what I expect to happen.
Yeah, meanwhile, Gargano does not take the pin. Loomis does, because why not? No, yeah,
because of course. Because Loomis, again, will never amount to much beyond being the boogeyman if he ever does even make it to the main roster.
Hayes pins Loomis, so clearly they're really wanting Hayes to look good as they get Johnny closer to Carmelo Hayes. Mello doesn't miss. Is Johnny Gargano going to be the first miss for Mello?
No, I think he'll go over.
I mean, I don't disagree with you at all, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Really. And again, match happened. I didn't really care. There was so much character development, though. Let's talk about the beginning of this night. Mandy Rose comes out.
Yeah, comes out, cuts a decent promo.
I was shocked.
Me too. Was good. Was pretty good. The you deserve it stuff. And she's like, I know. Shut up.
people are just like, they're chanting, you deserve it. The other half is like, no, you don't.
I was also like, it doesn't really. Okay.
Bunch of weird, I mean,
she's gotten there slowly over time. That's fine.
And of course she puts over the fact that Toxic Attraction, they all won gold over the last show at Halloween Havoc. It was fun. It was good. And then Rose is like, hey, where are my ladies? Where are my ladies at? All the single ladies.
They kayfabe Zoe's injury. That's good. Like that. Rare. Rare that that happens. Very pleased that they were able to fight. Like, I keep saying this. Why is it that the people who get injuries, like, are not allowed on TV at all ever? Like, when MVP got, like, it was a knee injury again. He re-agitated his knee or something. It was the rib. I think he cracked a rib. And, like, he couldn't be on TV. And I was like, you're a manager. What does this matter? Like, I don't understand it all. WWE's weird as hell with that stuff. So, like, I'm just glad to see that they kayfabed the actual industry so that we have an explanation that they can use when she comes back.
Yeah. Like you said, they took out Zoe Stark. Now we know. Io Shirai comes out and she's like, hey, I want the title.
That's Io. We talked about this. We said this was a potential competitor and we said it wasn't a great idea.
And it's not, because at the end of the day, we're going to build Io and that's great. Singles Io is great. Love it. But
she's going to lose. Yeah, that's not great. I don't want to watch Io Shirai lose to Mandy Rose.
How do we get out of this? What, do you have Dakota Kai and Io Shirai have a thing coming out of it? Like Dakota Kai saves Mandy from losing her title because she wants to beat up Io Shirai?
I don't know. It's not going to work great.
No, I don't love it either. There's nothing I can do here. But now we're going to do a six woman because we're going to do Toxic Attraction versus Casey.
Very, Kanzara. Very elegantly introduced in that awful Imperium interruption where it's like, hey, we just learned that we have a six woman tag next week. What's her name? JC Jane? Yeah, thank you.
They both tremendous
delivery.
Casey Squared.
How could any man resist?
So Casey Squared and Io Shirai are going to team up. They'll take on Toxic Attraction. I guess, is that next week or in 2 weeks?
I don't care.
Either way.
It'll be on when it's on.
Yep. Cameron Grimes in Duke's Poker Room. I told you, man, Cameron Grimes was going to either be a shark or he was going to clumsily win his way to the end. And they did both. He played everyone and then sharked his way to the end.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, fine by me, sure. Cora Jade took on Dakota Kai, speaking of which.
This was a great reintroduction for Dakota Kai. I really liked this.
Really?
I did, yeah. I thought her entrance was cool. I thought she came in. It was a decent match. And then, I don't know. The one thing I don't get is why she didn't do the bad thing at the end, right? Where she walks away.
So that's what a lot of people are talking about, because she suddenly hears voices and she stops. Is that because she's saving up her anger and her problems? Is she saving it up for Raquel?
Yeah. Like, it's, I don't know. It felt like, you remember when Tommaso Ciampa just started doing that thing where, was it Ciampa? He was doing the seesaw thing where you grab the legs and you fall backwards. And it was into the, was it him or was someone else?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember what the move was.
I can't remember. Yeah, it's like that you grab their legs and you fall backwards and they catapult. I think it's called catapult. And they catapult, but he did it up into the ring, the apron underneath the ring on the outside. And I can't remember. It was either Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa either did it or got it done to him. But there was one guy who was doing it over and over again to people. And then it just kind of went nowhere. So I think, oh, I thought that was like, maybe she'll do this table thing, but then she just didn't do it.
Right. Okay. So listen, I'll take your word for it. I can't remember who it could have been. Maybe someone in the chat's going to remember.
Yeah,
she does have to have an edge to her character. I think that's a good point that's brought up. This is the edge, but I'm hoping that there's more explanation as to why she didn't do it. Cora Jade, I thought she was going to get the win and then they were going to do the shenanigans.
No.
No?
No, I don't think Cora Jade's anything yet. I think she's there to get squashed for a bit.
Well, no, her whole story has been that she's getting these fluke wins. Yeah, did it to Frankie Monet, to someone else.
I don't know. But I also, I think they might be walking it back because like, I don't see anything there yet.
I mean, she's young. She's 19, 20
years old. Early. Like they walked away because we haven't seen Baxter in a week or two, right? So like I think they're walking away from that storyline. I think they've, you know, washed their hands of it and now she's just waffling until they figure out what to do with her.
Keep in mind that Baxter was taken out by Legato a couple weeks ago.
Oh, how he can't recover from that. Anyway,
either way, we have to recover MSK because they have seemingly gotten lost. They have to walk because they missed their bus because they were talking jaywalked. About the origin
they
story.
Jaywalked on it. There was a do not cross sign. I was like, good job.
What a bunch of badasses that MSK. So they're sitting at the best stop and they're just like, hey, how do we get the name MSK anyway? And they're going to go see the OG. Who are they going to see, Tim? Who are they going to go see?
I have no idea. Did they get Trey Miguel?
Yeah, Trey is going to move from Impact. It was a trade. They got Speedball Mike Bailey in a trade for Trey Miguel.
Yeah. I mean, this feels like copyright infringement.
A little bit. It was just strange.
Like, how dare you? How dare you lift IP from Impact, you bastards? Like,
put him in a treehouse and have him smoke, okay?
Yeah. I mean, that was basically it. It had the exact same vibe. Like,
okay. This one got a lot of people talking, not necessarily in a good way. Robert Stone, Zion Quinn.
Hey, it was funny.
I thought it was friggin' hilarious.
It was very funny. Robert Stone, very funny. Very funny dance. Good dance funny. Yes. Zion Quinn, not what you expected, you know, which was the point. Obnoxious that it's sexy boy. Obnoxious. I mean, it's Shawn Michaels. Screw you, Shawn Michaels, you dork.
Shawn Michaels is basically running that show right now. So how
I know,
dare
which
you?
Is what and I know, and I'm aware of that, and it's very lame. And him doing karaoke over what is functionally a karaoke song anyway was just like, my God. And when it first started, I was like, oh, he's pretty shitty at dancing. Does anyone in WWE know what good dancing is? Like, they couldn't give him. But then he did some cool stuff where he was tossing around. Like, I started to question it, and then it delivered. And I was like, you know what? Fine. That's good. And then he threw around Robert Stone very effectively.
When they did the dirty dancing spot, I was all for it. And Zion Quinn, there you go. I'm glad people are seeing it. Zion Quinn was great in this.
That was funny as hell.
Our friend Drew was like, good afternoon to Zion Quinn only. I agree. It was so funny. It was just, it was silly. It was NXT. It was very much NXT. And I'm fine with that.
It feels like Zion Quinn's being built as like an actual person with like complexity and an interesting character. Like there are some wrestlers in WWE who just get to be,
people. HBK's kid.
Oh my God. Don't make him HBK's kid. That would be confusing as hell. Ah, no, I guess HBK got around.
So I agree. They're clearly wanting to do something with Zion Quinn.
Yeah. He's going to have a more complicated character than most wrestlers are given. He's not going to be a one note guy, which is good to see because he's got the physique, he's got the moveset. Like I think it's interesting.
Supersonic saying that Zion Quinn is Samoan, so maybe he'll be the guy to beat the Tribal Chief and his bloodline. I think they have another guy, and we'll talk about him in just a minute. Jimmy and/or Jey Uso, as I am calling him.
Yeah, you've been calling him that. I've been calling him the Nuso because he's the new Uso.
So. Yes. First of all, speaking of people who look like people, Joe Gacy cuts a promo. And I'm telling you, man, this bit is going to end with either me meeting Joe Gacy in person or Joe Gacy blocking me on all forms of social for being a dick.
It's pretty funny. Like, it's so funny considering this guy looked nothing like that. That long ago.
Gets a damn haircut and all of a sudden everyone's like.
And that all of a sudden he's you.
It's weird.
The promo was fine. We're explaining. I don't think bald guys need defending Joel Gacy. Joe Gacy. I think they're okay. Like, anyway, I guess he's a cult leader now.
Yeah, I mean, he always was. That's the first thing I told you about him. Yeah, that's where it was
going. You're right. You're quite right about that. I find that boring because they've never done it well. Like, I feel bad because I really love the Wyatt family and it just never lived up to its potential.
Maybe this is take two.
Yeah, and if they're going to use Parker Bordeaux or whatever the hell his name is, like...
Call him Harland.
Harland
forward roll.
Harland. Who, like, he just, I don't know. He looks like a convict who's dealing with cancer, and it's not great. It doesn't work for me.
My friendship with Harland or Tim is weird. But you know what? I have a better friendship with Tim than I do Harland. Harland's just there to try and learn how to move forward. We had Zion Quinn, by the way, had a backstager real quick with Legado del Fantasma.
Yeah.
And Electra Lopez is like,
Electra's just you're into sexy. Yeah. I was like, hey, there we go. We got both sexes doing the same thing now. Love it.
Fine by me.
Evolution, baby.
What did you think of Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner taking on Legado del Fantasma?
I actually thought the match was really good. I guess we're going Kyle O'Reilly versus Von Wagner eventually.
Down the line, it's got to happen, yeah, right? I think that's what we were waiting for.
Because, you know, Kyle seemed displeased that Wagner got the pin in a very sloppy finish, sadly. Good match, sloppy finish.
Oh, yes. We do need to talk about the new Legado del Fantasma t-shirt based off the LWO. It's so...
Oh, yeah.
So good. I want one of those so bad. I've never wanted to take someone's culture so bad. anyway, let's appropriate that sword. So Legado gets the win. Very big fan of that because I think it's time to rebuild them, put them back into a title scene. Escobar has not been on TV in the last couple of weeks, at least not last night.
Yeah.
Let him simmer. Let him chill until they bring him back because I think it's time. He lost all those title matches. We need to build him up again. I think it's time to give him some time away. That's right.
Elektra's got it for now.
And I'm okay with that because she's actually a really good representative for that group.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm much happier doing that. Andre Chase is not a coward.
Okay, so first thing that happens is the backstager where he says, I'm going to give them a Andre Chase University sized ass whooping. And I was like, well, now why didn't they just say, I'm going to give them an Andre Chase University education? And then that's his shtick because I was worried that they weren't going to lean into the university stuff. But then he came out and did the in the ring and it was exactly. It's like, get your PhD, blah, blah. He hit all those points. He was a bit wooden to start and I think he'll get there.
His delivery is not. I think he's supposed to be a bit wooden.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Him mean mugging, he does fake mad not well, which is not good for a wrestler. But I think he'll get there. I think he'll get there. And I think it's a decent gimmick. He's going to live in the mid to low mid guard and just eat pins left and right. But we're going to have fun along the way. And that's all that matters.
Naturally. I do like that Andre Chase is leaning into this ridiculousness.
Yeah, like him having the cheering section, like the students.
Dude, WrestleMania 39, WrestleMania 40, whenever he's on the main roster, I guarantee you, Andre Chase is going to have the intro. They're going to have him come out with the marching band of whatever city they're in. They're all going to be decked out in Andre Chase colors. They're going to do a drum line. It's going to be a huge thing. And he's going to win that WWE championship.
Ew, no. He's never going to come anywhere close to touching a WWE championship so long as he is back. Chase he is, you.
He's taller than Bron Breakker. How dare you?
Yeah, but he's lithe. He's wiry, which Vince isn't, you know, that doesn't work for him sexually. So.
How dare you? Bron Breakker beats our friend Andre Chase. Which and then good. Breakker says, I'm not done with Ciampa. I still want the NXT championship. I will beat everyone. And he also put over Ciampa, said he's a real deal, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
but the whole point here is Breakker still wants to be the champion.
Yeah, he will be. He's got the stuff, unlike Andre Chase.
Andre Chase is going to win, I tell you. So,
he had
so,
a great one line. I'm trying to remember. There was one other line in the ring that was really solid, but it's all good. It's good.
That Andre Chase had?
Yeah. I'll have to look at it again.
He said he doesn't fear anything, but otherwise,
no,
the PhD comment you already made.
PhD comment. There was one other one. Anyway, it's
fine. Anyway, so another topic of conversation that got people going was the Imperium backstager. I will say this. I very much enjoyed Imperium reverting to speaking their native tongues, speaking German and speaking Italian.
Italian, yeah.
I find like, it hilarious.
They speak different languages. Okay.
I find it hilarious that they put that they write live and in time, they have the subtitles going. I think that's
ready
favorite.
To go. They knew the forethought. I can see where they're going with this.
Oh my God, I love this. Going back to Andre Chase, bring back JR just to do the WrestleMania match.
Oh my God, I keep thinking his theme is the Sooners theme because all of that stuff sounds the same to me.
Yeah, Andre Chase's theme, you mean?
Yeah, Andre Chase's theme. Yeah, it sounds like, you know, I keep thinking Jim Ross is going to show up.
Maybe he will. So we have Imperium, they're speaking in their native tongue, and then Gigi Dolin and JC Jane come out. Like you said, they're
we
like,
we have a six woman tag match next week.
You ever watch, there's an SNL sketch I implore everyone to find. It is a couple of porn stars shilling for different products, high-end products, and like it's very, they're very wooden and very bad and making double entendres. They're like, you should buy Bulgari. That is the delivery that I think of now.
That's what it was.
I'll post it in the Discord. If you join our Discord, I'll have it for you all in that Discord. It's free. There's a link in the video description here. That's where I'll post it. Anyway, that's and then they're like, Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner are just like, oh, maybe America.
The mat is sacred, but
the mat is sacred, but our beds are not. And that's basically what we're going for.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, let it. It's high school. NXT is high school. If you haven't figured it out yet, I'm sorry.
Got some real like Degrassi vibes, you know?
It's cool. Lashing out with Lash Legend. Hey, we finally get Tony D'Angelo on Lashing Out with Lash Legend. Huh? He was also on The Bump earlier today, and it was interesting. Lash Legend's producer shows up, Ryan Katz, for those of you who are.
His arm, his poor arm. What happened to his arm?
He got it locked in the back of a trunk.
Oh no.
He slipped and fell on it.
You got to be careful around trunks.
Oh my God. I think Walter is a Tom Shagger.
I'm trying to picture him resisting the urge to chop.
Oh no. Well, I mean, which part? Anyway, maybe his partners are into that. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. You chop the right bits.
That's right. He's a father, Tim. The man is a father. Anyway, so Lash Legend's producer shows up and he's just not, everything's not okay, but everything's okay. And then Tony's like, I'm going to go after anyone. It doesn't matter. But all the names he gives, Tim, our NXT 1.0 guys.
Yeah, he beats old men.
That's fine. I want him to get over that way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. Wanted to get over by beating up Pete Dunne or beating up Kyle O'Reilly or beating up Roderick Strong. I don't care. I want him there.
I don't want to watch him beat Pete Dunne. Any of the other ones.
Sure. I want to see him beat Pete Dunne.
I don't want to watch him beat Pete Dunne.
Just for the discourse. I need it.
Oh, my God. I guess, you know, he might be better at joint manipulation than Pete Dunne.
No, that's MSK. They're better at joint manipulation.
Oh, okay.
That's it was very good.
Good.
So that's the Lash Legend segment. Sure, why not? Sola Sikoa. So here we go. He takes on Jeet Rama, who should have stayed in his banana. Instead, he gets beat up by Sola Sikoa, a.k.a. the Nuso, a.k.a. Jimmy and or Jey Uso, a.k.a. the next member of the Bloodline, because they're talking it up as if he is the lost, forgotten Uso.
I mean, they didn't give him an Uso name, so I don't see that going that direction. Maybe they're just trying to keep him unsullied for when they bring him to the main roster and give him an Uso name.
I think they keep him as Solo Sikoa, and he's like, I took on this name because you abandoned me.
You abandoned me. He's a little shorter than them, isn't he?
I don't care. He's built like Mark Hunt, and that's good
enough. He is. Yeah, yeah.
But that's the whole point of the story with Solo. The whole point is that he was abandoned. He was left alone. He's the third Uso, and that's it. He's the third Uso, but he doesn't want to be the third Uso, except he's got to stop doing the splash from the top rope.
Maybe he should consult his moveset.
Consult his moveset.
Am I still an Uso? Yes. It appears that I am.
I want to see what they do with him. They're obviously going to make him a kick-ass guy. They want him to be the badass Samoan guy. Sure. The next Umaga, who knows?
I think he can do better.
Well, they're all part of the Bloodline anyway.
Speaking of thumbs being thrust, my God.
Anyway, Josh Briggs, Brooke Jensen, they have a
barbecue.
Promo. I hated it.
Yeah, I don't.
Of all the storytelling, of all the background character explanations. I feel like we've seen these characters
800 times through 800 men.
But you know what? Coming from a background in like cutting film and production, it was so poorly put together. Someone thought that like, oh, they think alike, they talk alike, so let's have them cut on the words and finish each other's sentences. But it just jarred your brain. It didn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Wasn't for me.
Me neither. But what was for me is Boa. Boa's going to be the next Mei Ying. Because Karen Q is coming. She's done. There's no more Mei Ying, Tim. We were right.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Now he's going to he's going to be Sting Boa. They paint his face.
I'm so confused.
So excited.
What is the name of this faction again?
Tian Sha.
Tian Sha.
I mean, it's not a faction anymore because there's only two of them. And now apparently there's only one of them.
Switch. Like, I don't understand.
Well, no, because she gave her powers to Poa. And now she's going to be Karen. And they're going to make her into a Karen character. Her
real name is Karen Q. Oh, so they're going to steal from Impact again. And they're going to make Susan.
They're going to make Karen another Asian woman. They're going to make her into a Karen.
Leave Impact alone.
Talk to Louis Dangor about that. Put him on trial, not me. Oh, so that was it. LA Knight is out there. Yeah. And he's doing his thing.
He's going to fight that Grayson guy. Waller. Again, we've set up a feud via Halloween Havoc, which is so bad to me, but whatever.
Waller,
who is the better vampire man?
Hey, man, just let it happen. Let it happen. That was fun. So Ciampa comes out. This is leading into the main event, which we've already discussed. He calls himself the god of NXT, and of course, as gods do, they eventually die. That's not important. Carmelo Hayes comes out and introduces and interrupts Ciampa. Now, here's what I like. Hayes is saying 2.0 and the new school are on the rise, and he's like, I'm the guy. And you got Ciampa is the old NXT champion. He's the guy. They might be setting up for a 2.0, 1.0 gimmick. That's fine. And then Johnny Gargano's music eventually hits.
Yeah.
And they meet up on the rampway, him and his old pal, Tommaso Ciampa. A lot of people talking about a DIY reunion, Tim.
Oh, yeah. No.
You don't want to see it, or do you want to see it?
I don't want to see it. It's fine.
I don't either.
It makes me remember when I really enjoyed NXT. This isn't bad. I don't hate this, to be clear. I really enjoyed NXT then.
Maybe you do hate it.
No, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
I wish someone keeps calling Rex Steiner is what Braun was going as outside of WWE, I guess.
No, it's not even outside of WWE. It was the name that he gave himself on Twitter literally days before he debuted on main roster. Oh, no, on NXT, I should say.
See, I like Braun, but drop the B and just make him Ron Steiner. He looks like a Ron.
Yeah.
Not a Rex. Rex is lame. Rex is a dog's name.
The Rex Steiner thing, it's because his last name is Rex Steiner. That's the Steiner actual last name. So, like, it makes sense. It's cute, blah, blah, blah. I just think they said it's a little too on the head.
Make him a Ron.
They also, like, yeah, but they have to.
I mean, if you're going to call him a genetic freak, you absolutely should just give him the damn Steiner name, though. Like, the Breaker stuff is getting dumb when they're leaning that heavily into it with the siren and the
And he's got his dad's boots on. He's got the bite me on the side of the boots because
he's going to start doing push-ups in the ring. We'll get the chainmail too. Like, just
he's going to amalgamate
both Steiners, and then there you go. Yeah,
he'll wear the jacket with the dogs on the sides. That's what we got to do next for Braun Breaker. They're doing everything but calling him a Steiner. And you know what? Sure, I'll deal with it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not the end of the world.
So that is NXT. Again, it was a pretty good episode. There was some stuff that I'm okay, sure, why not? AEW tonight, first of all, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that we are collectively, we're sending our love to Jon Moxley and his family as he has joined an inpatient treatment program for alcohol. I think it's wonderful. I think it's good that he's getting the help he needs. I think he's got a family that loves him fiercely and a great support system, and we'll see him hopefully in 30 days outside of that thing.
Yeah.
Not so much else.
Orange Cassidy get a, well, we can direct it, I guess, into the tournament.
So we will. AEW Dynamite is tonight. They are, because we do talk about the stories, and the best we can do is send our love, and I don't think it's going to be out of turn for us to ask, because AEW has tweeted out who will face Orange Cassidy in the World Title Eliminator Tournament semifinals. So it sounds like they're going to have a replacement for Orange Cassidy and not just give him a bye. Mm. Tony Khan is going to be on Wrestling Observer Radio today to discuss that and all the other news in AEW. So there'll be some announcements, I assume, for Full Gear, which, by the way, is in 2 weeks, and I had no friggin' clue.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Jeez, I mean, I knew it was coming. I didn't realize it was so close. I'm used to their pay-per-views being like 4 months apart. They're not totally quarterly.
No.
Anyway, so TK will be on Wrestling Observer Radio today. So if you want to hear what they're going to do about that, that's where you can find out. Elsewhere on the card for AEW, we've got Cody Rhodes taking on Andrade El Idolo. That sounded more like an old Jewish man than it did anyone who was of Latin descent.
So it's not a tag match. Okay, we're just going to do this right away.
Well, right. I mean, it's probably going to build into a tag match too.
Yeah, oh, you know we're getting to a tag match. I don't want it. Nobody wants it.
Cody and Pac versus Andrade and the other guy. I was going to say Miro, but I actually meant Malachi Black. Thank you. My own brain different. Finally came
very
up
different.
For me.
Yeah.
Okay. TBS title tournament. Anna Jay takes on Jamie Hayter. Who you got? Who's going to win?
I don't know. I mean, my opinion, it should be Jamie Hayter, but I think it might be Anna Jay.
I don't know who's next. I don't know who the bye is for either of these women.
Yeah, this just seems like a match for the week. I don't think it's going to lead to anything, really.
We talked about it 2 weeks ago. So go back and find where we talked about the card for the TBS title. And you'll probably get the answer there. And finally, FTR is putting the AAA tag titles on the line in an open challenge. Tim, Ring of Honor just shut down, so clearly it's going to be a Ring of Honor tag team, right?
We should probably bring in someone from outside for this, right?
I think it'll just be shenanigans, and that's fine. It's good. It just brings out the Lucha Bros afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Sounding closer and closer like they're going to put both of those tag titles, hopefully not on a ladder, but somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't want that.
In a bucket? Some sort of bucket they have to get to? Buried treasure. Buried treasure match.
You've got four titles, right? Because there's two sets of tag titles. Yeah. You put them on poles on every side of the ring.
Oh, yeah.
And you can only win when you've captured at least one set of titles. And you call it, I don't know what you call it. Titles on a pole? The pole eliminator? I got nothing. Tim, help me out. Oh, dear. I think we did it. I think we got through the rest of the world, okay? Did we do the thing, Tim? Is there anything else from wrestling we got to talk about?
Is there no other matches announced tonight?
No, just
Orange Cassidy's going to face someone.
Yeah.
Troll, we're just going to be, it's Wyndham Rotunda. There you go. Everyone get excited.
Oh my God. People are starting with that. He's free.
What a horrible friggin' way that would be to introduce him.
So, I mean, there was a Fightful Select report about what's going on or what may have led to his eventual departure. We'll leave it at that. Go subscribe.
Yeah, I've seen some of that. Yeah.
I'm trying to find, has anyone else put up any of the card? Usually by 3:00 Eastern, they've started putting more stuff up. So we're not there yet. When we get there, you'll know. Until then, Tim, where can the kids find you on the internet?
Oh, they can find me at Tim Stone, PTIMBSTONEP on Twitter, Instagram. Blah, 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 blah.
Wow, that's great. The show is Tim and Joel Pod. TimandJoelPod.com, at Tim and Joel Pod on all socials. Join us in the Discord. It is there every single week. Go ahead, share the video with your friends and family, whatever. Do it on your socials. It helps us. We retweet it. We get it out there. We want you and our friends to come and join us. New friends are always welcome here. In the audio world, go ahead, leave us a 5-star review. Goes further than you'll ever understand or know. And it really helps us get us out there. I am at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL. Ladies and gentlemen and friends beyond the binary, last note, sorry, Sunday, we are not going to be live at noon. I am out of town, so we'll figure something out. Maybe a midnight show, we'll see. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary once again. We'll see you eventually. Good night.